Every believer has the capacity to live as Jesus lived. Live victoriously over sin, sickness, death, poverty, and every evil works of the enemy. You can transform not just your own life, but the lives of people around you. The more you expose yourself to the words of God, the more you see it flow through you. In this message, Pastor Philip teaches on how you can respond to God's unconditional love for you. Live your life in the reality of His power and be all His Word says you can be.
He has been good to us. He has shown us mercy. For all these 3 years, He has shown us mercy. He has provided for us beyond even our imagination. And He has blessed us with the most amazing people on earth. Look at yourself. Look at yourself. Look at you now. You're not even celebrating yourself. Let me tell you, don't let the fact that somebody has served you breakfast affect your perception of yourself. Your boyfriend might think you are worth nothing. Your girlfriend might think you're worth nothing. But trust me, you are worth Jesus to God. The day God showed me that revelation was the day that turned my perspective about myself totally. You know, when I was young, I'm still talkative. But I talk a lot. And if you talk a lot, let me see my colleagues. Always talking. And there's a wrong perception that people have about people that talk. They think that people that talk don't have sense. Who said that? I feel your pain. They think we don't have sense. That's why we talk. All right. So this is what happened. And one of the people that taught us in fellowship in secondary school was a Deeper Life teacher. And he had a lot of problem with the fact that I was always talking. He would beat me for talking. He would discipline. And he would show me scriptures that in the multitude of words, there wanted no sin. That anyone that is talking like this will commit sin. You know, they kept doing that to me over and over. And there are people here who have terrible self-esteem issues because of what your teachers in school told you, because of what your boyfriend told you, because of what your parents told you. And you may think those things didn't mean anything until you see that your life is moving in the direction of those things. You don't know how powerful it is to keep hearing over and over that you talk too much, you talk too much, you talk too much. So I began to pray. I searched the scriptures and I found, you know, I used to want to find the scriptures. I found what the Bible said, the hand of the Lord came upon Ezekiel and it was dumb. I found it. I said, powerful. So the hand of the Lord can come upon a man and it will be dumb, not being able to speak. So I have an Old Testament scripture and I needed a New Testament scripture, you know, because in the mouth of two witnesses, the word is established. So I looked at the New Testament. Is there anybody that got dumped in the New Testament? Can somebody give me one person? Zacharias. The hand of the Lord came upon Zacharias and was, so I began to pray. Lord, make me dumb. I'm tired of talking. You don't know what it is. I'm dealing with terrible esteem issues. And my younger brother, very quiet. He doesn't say anything. My brother was just like Femi. Doesn't say anything. You think that they are very wise. What tank? Tank, a reservoir of wisdom. Doesn't say anything. So they will compare me. Look at your brother. You know what it is, that it's sibling rivalry is a poison. People are dealing with issues now. Your sister is chubbier than you, has more flesh. You're slim. You're looking. Nothing to show. You're terrible. You're dealing with serious. Oh, sorry. Let me not go there. But there are terrible things people are dealing with, you know, perpetually comparing themselves with their siblings. So I began to pray and ask God that God would make me dumb. In fact, there was a particular day I would never forget. I made up my mind I was not going to say anything in class that day. Went to class, I was not going to say anything. I said, Philip, I'm going to zip it up. I'm not going to say one word. By 12 noon that day, I was already running high temperature. High fever. They said, what's the problem? I don't want to talk. They said, talk. You see, because my health is tied to my tongue. I need to say something. All right. So I prayed over and over. Then God said one day, shut up. I I said, Lord, he said, I made you to talk. I want you to talk. I said, Lord, but they said in the mouth of words, they would say, no, you. I want you to talk. I made you to talk. So I said, but it's putting me into trouble. He said, that's the problem. You are saying the wrong things. He said, change what you are saying, but never stop saying something. So he said, when I called Peter, I made him what? Fishers of men. I didn't change his occupation. I only changed the expression of his occupation. Are you following me? So what you call weakness is a gift from God. The flip side of your strength is your weakness. The perversion of your strength is your weakness. The strength of Moses was his anger. The strength of Moses was his anger. You see, Moses was perpetually angry against the servitude of Israel in Egypt. He was so angry, he killed an Egyptian. Are you following me? Are you following me? Now, do you know that there was no place in the entire scriptures where God rebuked Moses for killing that Egyptian? Show me. There's none. In fact, when it was time for God to deliver Israel from Egypt, he went to look for a man that would kill an Egyptian without hearing from God. Because the man was hungry. Your hunger is a pointer to your purpose. The things that you're hungry at, the things that you have been called to stop. So if you are very angry with the government situation, very angry. You're very angry with, you know, molestations. You're angry with child assault. You're angry with domestic abuse. You are very angry. Any year you hear domestic abuse, you are very angry against domestic abuse. And you are even angry that you're supposed to be not angry with you. Now why can't you see what I'm saying? No, we can't see it because I've not been called to stop it. You have been called to stop it. Your weakness. There is no such thing. I know you'll tell you mental preferences, sanguine, choleric, those things they'll tell you. But trust me, God did not create anybody and say, oh yeah, this boy is ready now to be sent to the earth. What weakness can we give him? Can you come up with any weakness? You think God will sit down and be thinking of a weakness? No, God doesn't. God doesn't do that. The Bible says all good gifts. Somebody say prophet. Lift up your hand and say, Lord, thank you for making me perfect. So he made you perfect. He said all good gifts and perfect gifts comes from God, the Father of light, with whom there is no variableness, nor the shadow of falling. You are a gift from God, and so therefore you're perfect. You talk perfectly. Your height is perfect. You may be down to height, but you're perfect. You're perfect. You're perfect. You're perfect. Are you following me this morning? You're perfect. I have no weaknesses. I have no weaknesses. Perversion of my strength has become my weakness. I mean, I argued this with God, and I've said it before in SLC. I argued it that God, you can't tell me that I don't have a weakness. God said, look, anger is a gift. The Bible says, be angry. Ephesians 4:29. What does it say? Be angry and, So you know, what's the meaning of and? Those of you that study English language, what is and? And is a conjunction that means that both clauses could have existed independently. Is that true? Be angry is an instruction. You could have stayed alone. Be angry. Thank you, Lord. And you move on. Because it takes anger against poverty to be delivered from poverty. Anger is a gift. So if you have remained on the same spot because you are not angry enough. You have remained on the same spot because you are not angry enough with your condition. And that's why I've stayed there. Anger is a gift. But what was the thing that destroyed the life of Moses? It was his hunger. It's the flip side. The perversion of your strength is your weakness. Satan is not a creator. He has given no man nothing. A man can receive nothing except what? Answer me, Bible scholars. Can what? Except it be given. God is the giver of all things. Satan did not give anybody anything. So I said, Lord, that can't be true. He says, tell me. I said, what about people that can't see anything in skirts? If they see a girl, they must go for it. I've seen people who are very, you know, vulnerable to women. Guys who cannot see, when they see a woman, they go. They're just, you know, it's as if there's something wrong with their system. So God said, that's a gift. That came from me. How, Lord? I mean, the guy said, say, go. He tells his friend, Alpha, say, see that girl? Give me 2 weeks, I'll have kissed her. Have you met people like that? Have you met people like that? They can't even bet. Say, give me 2 weeks. Have you met people like that? Answer me now. 2 weeks. Say, I'll kiss that girl. 2 weeks.
So they set a goal. And that's a weakness. But that's a strength. God said that's a strength. God said for you to set a goal with minimum or no supervision. A lot of people cannot set a goal and meet it. You set a goal to kiss that girl within 2 weeks and you achieved it. That's a goal. That's a gift. What Satan did is to pervert the expression of that gift and you are using it for useless things. You should set more reasonable goals than that. You should set more goals for your finances. Set more goals for your life. Say, I'm going to write a book this month. I'm going to come out with my podcast this month. Give me 2 weeks. I'll be done with this strategy and no financial plan. It's the same energy. The same energy. Satan did not create anything. Everything Satan has, he stole it. Everything, if you see Satan going and you say anything with it, he has stolen it. He does not have anything. He was an angel. He was a singer. He was a creative person. He was not a creator. He was created. I said, Lord, that can't be true. How about people that watch porn? And watch porn over porn and porn, more porn, and never get out of watching porn. And because you watch porn, the same porn, the same sex. Why you watch black, you watch white? Same sex. Same story, same sex. Why are you watching different ones? Why are you watching different ones? It's not the same thing. I know only one watch one. He said, you watch again. Give me another one. Why are they doing that? God says, it's a gift. Insatiability is a gift. The ability to remain perpetually dissatisfied is a gift. God wants you perpetually dissatisfied. Amen. The only way to stay on with God is to remain dissatisfied. And so you have a vacuum in your heart that is not fillable. Are you following my point? There's a vacuum you have that you are stuffing it with the wrong thing. There's a God-sized vacuum in every man's heart. Nothing can fill it but God. Not money, not job, not woman, not sex, not drink, nothing but God. And so you have that vacuum and you keep stuffing it into it. You are never able to get enough of what you're looking for. So God is the only thing that can satisfy you. And God needs such people who are those who they just can't. You come and spend time before God 4 hours, 3 hours, 2 hours. They never get enough of God. And so what they do is they use their appetite for porn. You just tweak it. Now you have appetite for God. Bible says, as the same way you have pursued after unrighteousness, pursue after righteousness. Satan did not have anything. So the day God revealed that to me, I became very proud of myself. Big bum, big breast, big head, big brown shoulder, all those things you see on Instagram. You just obsessed with rubbish. Look at this. I look straight at the mirror. I said, boy, you're perfect. Mwah! You're God's perfect creation. Anybody bigger than you is too big. Anybody taller is too tall. They're just too tall. This is the perfect standard. The perfect set. So that perspective, there is nothing my girlfriend or my boyfriend or my buddy or my anybody can say that can change my perspective on myself. God already died on the cross because of me. He paid the ultimate price to buy me back. I don't care what anybody else thinks. Somebody was willing to die. Somebody's son don't find me already. Amen. He didn't only find me. He was willing to die to get me back. Hallelujah. Come on, celebrate Jesus. Isn't that amazing? All right. We're going to be rounding up the laws of prosperity this morning. So take out your notes. I'm going to be rushing through it. After this sermon, you will need to get the sermon link. Please don't dull yourself. Time to say, neighbor. No dulling. God didn't make anybody poor. In the entire scriptures, Genesis to Revelation, there is nobody that God promised poverty. God promised people a lot of things, but didn't promise anybody poverty. God didn't make anybody poor. God has never done anything that turned anybody downwards. Poverty is not a gift from God. Poverty is a curse. And so Jesus wasn't poor. In 2 Corinthians 8 verse 9, says, you know his grace of God. Give it to me. 2 Corinthians 8 verse 9. 8 verse 9. 2 Corinthians 8 verse 9. King James.
For you know the grace of our Lord.
You know the grace of God.
Jesus Christ.
Yep. Mark, I see you.
That though he was rich.
Jesus though was rich, yes.
Yet for your sakes.
Now, the Bible says, are you looking at your Bible? Bibeli reader. What's your Bible? Do you have a Bible? Look at your Bible. The Bible says, for you know the grace of God. Jesus, though he was what?
Rich.
Jesus was rich. Then what?
Yet for your sakes.
The Bible says that it was for our sakes that Jesus became poor. So that what?
That through his poverty.
So that through his poverty.
You might be rich.
Now, I want you to sink in that scripture very well. That Jesus became poor so that I will be rich. If I am not rich, I have made his becoming poor a waste. Religion will quickly be telling you that what it meant was spiritual riches and spiritual poverty. You know, as you are reading it, religion will be helping you put spiritually in front. That you know the grace of God, after he was, though he was spiritually rich, yet for his sake he became spiritually poor, that yet through his spiritual poverty might be spiritually rich. Religion wants you to remain poor. That's what religion wants you to do. And so it says here that it is spiritual. But if you read the book of entire 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, 8 or chapter 9, you find out that what he was saying was real money. The blessing of the Lord does what? Make it what? The blessing of the Lord makes rich. Someone say rich. Say the blessing makes rich. Say again, say the blessing makes rich. Say it on and say the blessing is supposed to make me rich. Yeah. Jesus Christ was not poor. When he became poor, when did he become poor? That was my question. When did Jesus become poor? Romans said he became sin. When Jesus Christ became sin? When did he become sin? When did he become poor? When I look at people talk about Jesus Christ and how that he came from a poor family, I laugh. And I said in my status yesterday that Joseph and Mary were not poor. Joseph and Mary gave birth to Jesus in the manger, not because they couldn't afford a better place. It was because there was no space. The Bible says, the Bible was very clear to the reason why they gave birth to that guy in the manger. He said there was no space in the inn. Why? They were conducting census and everyone had come from where they were and come into that city. This guy and this lady have never had a child before. I'm sure they don't even know what to do. If that was their second or their third, maybe they would have even planned earlier. They didn't plan for that boy properly. That was the only reason why he was born in the manger. It was not because they couldn't afford a better place. Don't let Satan buffet you with thoughts of poverty. Joseph was a very famous carpenter in Israel. The Bible says they said of Jesus, is this not the son of Joseph the carpenter? He was not a dekurje, you know, just local. He was well known in the city as a carpenter. Jesus Christ was not poor. Anyone that can command fishes into the boat like that is not poor. If he was in fishing business, he would shut down the fishing industry. All his competitors would go out of market. Someone that can turn water to wine is not poor. If Jesus Christ was an Igbo man, Sorry. No, but you have to agree with me that the Igbo people are the most industrious people in Nigeria. You have to agree with me. I mean, if Lot was an Igbo man, I say, hey, your wife don't turn salt. Say, hey, Ebano. Ah, Okochukwu, Salt and Sons, industry. Oh, yeah, begin bagam. I beg your pardon, please. If Jesus was an Igbo man, Salt and Sons, it will shut down the wine industry. Because the Bible says his wine was the best. Was the finest wine. Someone that can turn water to wine was not poor. He needed to pay his tax one time. There was no money. He asked Peter to go catch a fish. That there was a gold coin in the mouth of a fish. Where was he? How did he know? Someone that can command. You see, prosperity is the ability to command money at will. There are people who don't have $1 in their account now, but if they need $1 billion, they get it. That's prosperity. Not poor. The Bible says his clothes that he was wearing, the soldiers were casting lots for it. The garment he wore, there was no place. They didn't sew it. There was no place they could cut. They couldn't cut it. It was beautifully made. That was spiritual Christ was wearing. It wasn't poor. Jesus had a sheep. The most prominent, you know, means of transportation in those days was boat, sheep. And the Bible says he had the boat at the inner chamber where he, Jesus, would go and sleep. And he was sleeping there, and there was a storm, and he was sleeping so comfortably, the storm didn't wake him up.
He was not pretending to be sleeping. He was not sleeping spiritually. He was sleeping. Are you following my point? So Jesus was not poor. Jesus was not poor. Jesus was not poor. Jesus, anyone that can take 5 bread and feed 5,000 with it is not poor. This sackbut thing cannot reach him. Jesus, how can Jesus be poor? How was he poor? When did he become poor is the question. He became poor on the cross. Jesus died all deaths on the cross, and he rose to all life when he rose up. So on the cross, he died financially. He died spiritually. The Bible says there was a separation between him and his father. He says, my father, why have you forsaken? Oh God, why have you forsaken me? He had the spiritual death on the cross. He had bodily death. All the sickness in the world came on Jesus. That also happened to him on the cross. So it was on the cross. You see, your disposition towards this must change to be able to benefit from it. Are you following my point? So when you walk out of this room, you know that it is God's perfect will for you to be prosperous. So what are the keys? I said number one is his word. The word of God is his first key for transformation. The word of God is the most important tool that God has. He doesn't even have any other. John chapter 1 verse 1 to 3 says that with it was everything made that was made. If God wants to change your life, he's going to speak a word into it. The word of God is everything. Ecclesiastes 8 verse 4. It says, for where the word of a king is, there is power. The power of God accompanies his word. As I'm preaching right now, there is power available in this room. I tell you the truth. If you are sick in your body and you're plugging right now, like that wonderful daughter of mine was talking about, Rejoice. She said it. She had asthma. For how many years was that? How many years was the asthma? So, ulcer. 5 years ulcer. Sitting down there. And I was sharing my testimony, how that God healed me. And she plugged in. She was in the church. There were many people in the church with her. She said, no, this is the end of this thing. And for since last year till now, she had had no symptom of ulcer, a condition she had suffered with for 5 years. I did not lay hands on her. Word. Just word. As I'm preaching, the word of God is available. That's why you cannot allow anything to distract you. In year 2000, I will never forget, year 2000, I was listening to Bishop David Odubo's message, Understanding the Roots of Sickness and Diseases. Year 2000 makes it 22 years now, isn't it? 2000, I was in a chemist, where I was managing a chemist as a young teenager. And he said that in 1979, he was to go preach somewhere. And he had running nose. And the nose was running and he had to be using a handkerchief. And he was supposed to go preach. And Satan said, don't worry, it's this dusty road. He said, shut up there, you Satan. Why is everybody not having gone over with handkerchiefs? And with the violence of faith, threw away his handkerchiefs. He said, I will not touch this thing since then. He said, his nose has stopped running since then. His nose has stayed in one place. Now, I have been coughing for 2 weeks. 2 weeks of very serious, embarrassing cough. A cough that goes, hello, doctor. That kind of cough that everybody's concerned. Can't even cough now, that time cough now, that we have a Ebola and all kinds of things. Tell me. I was coughing. 2000, year 2000. I had that testimony and I said, once I coughed, I said, this is the last time I'll cough till I die. Someone was with me there in the chemist, laughed, said, you have been coughing for the past 2 weeks. I said, and I forgot. By the evening of that day, she reminded me, do you know, I've been watching you since then, you've not had any cough. And for 22 years now, I've not had any reason to use any cough drug for 22 years. It was word. I was not even there when he preached it. I was hearing a recorded word. The word of God is as powerful as it is, whether it is recorded, written, printed, or said. The word of God is his tool. So what am I supposed to do with God's word? Number one, I'm supposed to find God's word. I said that already. I'm supposed to find God's word. Daniel chapter 9 verse 2. Daniel chapter 9 verse 2. Write it down. Daniel 9 verse 2. He said, I, Daniel, understood by books that Israel was supposed to spend 70 years. So Daniel found God's word for Israel, that Israel was supposed to spend only 70 years in Babylon. So he began to pray. He began to pray. Proverbs chapter 24 verse 14 says, when you find it, there will be a reward. Number two, I'm supposed to meditate upon the word. Sorry, I'm supposed to speak the word. Number three, I'm supposed to meditate upon the word. Number four, I'm supposed to act on the word.
Number two key, I said kingdom priority. Putting God's kingdom first. Matthew 6:33 says that we're supposed to seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first. If you're going to prosper in God's way, you are supposed to seek first God's kingdom. Someone says, tell your neighbor, seek first God's kingdom. What it means is that you put God first before yourself. You put God first before yourself. God first all the time. Some of us can't even seek God first when we wake up. We check our phone first. You have not even checked whether your hand is still there or your leg is still working. God first. God first. I learned from my father. My father was an herbalist. I grew up in a shrine with my father. My father never says anything in the morning except he has spoken to his gods. When he wakes up in the morning, he will be gesticulating. If you go meet him in his room early in the morning, he has to be in his shrine by 6 o'clock, 6 a.m. in the morning. But if you need to see him, he will just be gesticulating. He never opens his mouth to say anything to anybody until he has spoken to a dead god. How much more we believers? God first. Prosperity will come if I seek God first. Put God first. Put God things priority. Number three, I spoke about giving. Someone say giving. Say last, say giving. Say it again, say giving. Yes, giving. Giving. Only what is sown is permitted to multiply. Giving is the foundation for prosperity in the kingdom. Look at that drama. Give foundation. No one gives to God. And trust me, Satan can never tell you to give to God. I know Satan and I know God. He will never tell you. He will never tell you. I would have loved to give you stories upon stories, but I don't have time this morning. Are you following my point? So give it. Only what is sown is permitted to multiply. If I am very arm twisted, very hard fisted, I cannot give anything, then I'm not a candidate for God's prosperity. God wants you to give. Giving is a pathway out of poverty. Poverty is not an excuse not to give. Poverty is not an excuse not to give. That young boy had only one plate of 5 bread and 2 fishes. That was all he had. Yet he gave it. He went back home with 12 baskets of bread and fish. But pastor, I didn't have anything. You don't have any? Are you sure you don't have anything? Giving God 10 naira before. I go and look for it in mint. 10 naira mint. That's what I have. There is nobody that doesn't have anything. There is nobody in this house. People have dropped their research. People have dropped their shoes. Just to ensure that something leads them to God. Poverty is not an excuse. That Shulamite woman in the book of 1 Kings chapter 17 had just a meal left. Poverty is not an excuse not to give. Poverty, not giving because of poverty, is to remain in poverty. Shulamite woman had just one meal. She gave her meal. Bible says the oil did not cease. The flour did not go dry. Supply. Pastor Adebo said when he was going to collect his gratuity, he resigned. When the Lord told him to resign as a professor of mathematics, University of Lagos, to face full-time ministry. He didn't know what he was going to do to survive. But God, he believed that God was going to take care of him. But even in that belief, he had more faith in his gratuity. Are you following me? Are you following me? He had more faith in his gratuity. They were going to give him a lot of money, you know, as a retirement benefit. He was already calculating, you know, that he's going to use that money to do this. He says, as the money came, God says, ahem, very good. Now that this money has arrived, we're going to use this money to buy generators for all the parishes of redeem. He said, yes, Lord, I can hear you. You are telling me to use half of the money to buy. I want to confuse the Lord. I'm going to hear half of it. God says, no, son. I said, we're going to use all of the money. He thought he was going to die. He gave all his money to buy generators. Pastor Debo is 80 years old today. On his 60th birthday, he announced that the cash gift he got as daddy, thank you, sir, for being a blessing to us. Daddy, we thank you, sir. The cash, not kind, though, not houses, not cars, though, not buildings, though. Just cash. The cash that he got. He said if he's spending $1 million every day, that he cannot finish it till he dies. That was 20 years ago. That if he's spending $1 million every day, till he dies, he cannot finish it. This was the man that made a call in the same Nigeria. That how many of you want to give God 1 billion naira in this meeting? And a crowd ran out in that same church. But there was a time. All he had was his pension. Poverty is not an excuse not to give. So I don't have. Remove your shirt. You don't have what? You don't have what? You don't have what? Bishop Ugo said there was one time he didn't have any money to give for offering. So he asked the pastor, how much do you pay the person that comes to sweep this place? He said, we'll pay maybe 20 naira. He said, I'll sweep it. Don't give it to him. So he came, swept the church. He said, Lord, that's my offering. 20 naira. They would have given him, give it to the Lord. So that happened. Poverty is not an excuse not to give. The first foundation of our giving is our tithe. I don't want to spend too much time to say about Abraham was a tither. In Genesis chapter 14, give it to me. Genesis 14, I need you to do more. Genesis 14, verse 18. Genesis 14, verse 18. And there went out the king of Sodom and the king of Gomorrah and the king of Adam and the king of Zeboim and And Messiah said the king of Salem. That's verse 18, Abby.
Yes, sir.
Brought forth bread and wine. Read on. Continue.
And he was the priest of the Most High God.
Melchizedek was the priest of the Most High God, yes?
And he blessed him.
He blessed Abraham.
And said, blessed be Abraham of the Most
blessed
High God.
Blessed be the Abraham of the Most High God, yes?
Possessor of heaven and earth.
Possessor of heaven, yes?
And blessed be the Most High God.
Keep reading.
Which had delivered thine enemies into thy hand.
Yes.
And he gave him tithes of
Abraham
all.
Abraham gave tithes of everything that he bought from his battle and gave it to Melchizedek. Melchizedek is a priest in the likelihood of Christ. He was not a Levitical priest. The Bible calls him the king and the priest of Salem. He had no beginning, he had no ending. He was a type of Christ in the Old Testament. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 13 that Jesus is the priest after the order of men. So this was before the law. This was before Moses' law. You see, Moses' law brought a curse on not paying tithes. Christ paid the price by taking out the curse. Are you following my point? So he paid the price and the blessing. Continue.
And the king of Sodom.
Now the king of Sodom came.
Said unto Abraham,
this is satanic, yes?
Give me the persons.
He says, give me all the persons.
And take the goods to thyself.
Take the goods to yourself. So he's telling Abraham now, don't worry, just give me all the woman being. You carry everything, carry all the goods. Because Abraham had gone to fight one, was going to return everything to Sodom. What happened next?
And Abraham said to the king of Sodom. I have lifted up mine hand unto the Lord.
Are you following this scripture? How many of you are following this? Let me see your hands. What does it say?
I have lifted up mine hand unto the Lord.
Yes.
The Most High God.
Yes.
The possessor of heaven and earth.
Yes.
That I will not take from a thread.
I will not take a thread. Yes.
Even to two latchets.
Yes.
And that I will not take anything aside.
Yes. Lest you should say.
I have made Abraham rich.
So Abraham was so confident of his financial future. That's why I will not take anything. So if I take something now, you are going to say, you're the one that made Abraham rich. He was so sure he was going to be rich. Are you following my point? Are you following me? He had just paid his tithe. And they were bringing, saying, no, forget. This guy will be rich. When I was going to start SLC, you know there's a way, obviously when you're going, you say, greet no man on the way. You know what I'm talking about? There's a way you greet people. Hey, I'm going, yo. I'm going to start ministry, yo. Say, yeah, be going now. I'm just letting you know. I'm going, yo. That kind of greeting. You are greeting to express something. So there are people in our church where I left who were very prominent people. I mean, they are judges, business moguls, who would have given me some, give me about 1 million or 2 million, solid, grounded people. I block all their numbers. I block it. Lest any man will say, I made Philip. Where SLC is today, no human being on earth can take the glory. Not even me. Why can't it be me? I don't have any experience in pastoring. So I didn't bring my experience to bear. I didn't bring anything to the table. It's only my heart I drop on the table. Lest anyone say, I made Abraham rich. Fight, number one. I must give. Number two, I must give to promoting the kingdom of God. Matthew 6, verse 33. Seek ye first. I must give to promoting the kingdom of God. Promotion of God's kingdom. What is God's kingdom about? What God is on earth to do? Soul winning. Getting souls saved. I must be interested in that. I was showing on my status that was the Bible. I never know that Blue Gideon's Bible. I was showing a picture of my status yesterday. That Bible. How many of you had a copy in your life? See? How many people you bought one? How many people knew where it came from? Do you know that thing did not come from heaven? Human beings paid for that. There was literally no house in Lagos. I grew up in Lagos. There was no house in Lagos, even Muslim houses, that you won't find that Bible. If you go to hotels, you find it there. They were wealthy people that put their money behind printing the Bibles. Very wealthy people. Sent it everywhere. That's kingdom. That's not tithe. Eh? That's not tithe. That's way. Tithe is the foundation. What are we saying? You cannot even pay for kingdom. You are dragging with tithe. God, no. How will you give billions to the kingdom? What nine tithes can give? Billions. Has somebody in reading, somebody in Winner's Chapel, when Bishop built 10,000 churches by the grace of God, I heard it from his own mouth that there were church members that built five. Some of these churches cost 35 million to build in villages. Put the pastor there, pay the pastor's salary. Human beings, someone say, human beings like me. Human beings like me. Furnish the place. One human being said he will pay the salary of 1,000 of the pastors. Excuse me, if he's paying them 50,000 per month, how much is that? How much is that? If he's paying the 50,000, how much is that in a month? 50 million. Every month. Someone say, human being like me. So, but it starts with the heart. Are you following my point? It must first be in your heart before it gets to your hand. Some people cannot even think it in their head. They never, God forbid. Nobody, I don't get everything I could do with money. That's why the money cannot get into your hands. What is in your heart? And you don't need to promise God. Only if God give me 10 million, you already know how you are going to spend it. He saw how you spent the last 5,000. He knows if God put 50, God does not need, if I say that he's faithful in little, he didn't say we'll be faithful in much. He said he's already faithful in much. God already knows how you're going to spend the money he gives you by how much you are, the one you are spending, how much you used to buy shoe. How much you used to buy all kinds of things. Where did God come in that thing? Where was God's money there? Promotion. We pay for transport for people. You know, the transport people sent me a budget for a convention. They sent over 600,000. Over 600,000 just to convey people to church for convention and Pastor Kingsley program. It's on my table now. Budget awaiting approval. We are going to approve it. But in my mind, people are there. I say, no, Pastor, I'm joining. There are people say, Pastor, I'm joining you on this. I'm joining you on this. You are paying that people will come and hear God's word. It may be one person like that, my wonderful daughter. She got healed because somebody was willing to drop a seed that brought her. So that person's healing is tied to your gifts. Paul says, you are partakers of my grace. If I get to heaven, everybody that got saved, everybody that got healed because you paid their transport, you are going to be partakers of the reward because you paid it. That's what the promotion of God. It's not about buying engineer's shoe. If I want to buy a car, I can go and buy a car now. I can just come out and go and buy a car. But that's not my priority. I can drive one car if I want to. People are going to give me Rolls Royce tomorrow. It's not a problem. I told the leaders, I said, look, a time will come in leadership meeting, we want to do workers meeting, we'll go to the blue oceans of Hawaii. We'll just go to Hawaii. They say, Nigeria is too noisy. They're making noise. We'll travel and go. We'll go and have a meeting, workers meeting in the yacht. Because that place, we are very, you know, there's no noise here. And when we are done, we fly back. That's where we are going to. So it's not about okay, buying next shoe, buying next wristwatch. That's not kingdom. Kingdom priority. How important is God's kingdom to you? There are people who are benefiting from that bus. You won't believe it. Va. And in their mind, they say, now I don't know which thing I could take money to now. They are benefiting from that. In their mind, they say, if people have sense, you know that you're not wasting your money like this. They are beneficiaries. And yet their beneficiaries say, I cannot be staying in this bus forever. I must put a bus on the road for SLC. I must put a bus on the road. They are in the bus and they say, God, if only you can give me money. I must put a bus on the road, a Marco Polo bus, to get people to church. I heard that it was one woman that bought all the chairs in Dunamis Church. That glory door. One woman bought the entire chairs there. Say, God, give me money, God. You see what I'll do with you. And God knows their hearts. God already knows their hearts. Puts the money in their hands. If only you give it to me, if only the one they give you, what do you do with it? Say, it's not much. What did you do with it? I've gone to preach somewhere. My heart was so taught. And I was preaching, it was young people's church. Finished preaching. And I told them about some things we're doing. And one guy ran to me. He said, Pastor, can you please take this 1,000 naira as my seed to us? I asked him, kneel down. In the name, I took them and I blessed him with all my heart. Only him came out. I didn't ask for money. But only him had enough sense that if this guy is doing this, young people are getting saved, my children must not have issues with crack. I must sow seeds in advance that my children will not have issues with drug and prostitution. Let me begin to sow seeds that help other young people, because what I make happen for others, God will make happen for me. That's it. So it's kingdom. Kingdom. Kingdom priority. How important is the kingdom to you?
I beg. Go back there.
You cannot spoil. People have withdrawn their money. One pastor said, a man came to meet him. He said, I don't like what you're preaching. You don't change it. I'll have to withdraw family. You know, and he had a big family. And we're going to leave the church. He said, you can't that dictate to me what I'm going to preach. He said, well, then I'm going to leave it. And the man went and said, the pastor looked down from the window. He said, God, that was a very painful decision. He said, God, there goes the biggest giver in our church. God said, no, I'm still here. God is the biggest giver in the church. We are all channels. We are just opportune channels. Nobody. There's nothing that you have that God can't. God gave everything that you have came from God. So number two is kingdom. Number three is giving to the poor. Galatians chapter 6 verse 10. Giving to the poor. Galatians 6 verse 10. Give it to me, Dumont. Galatians chapter 6 verse 10. What does it say? As we have them for opportunity, yes.
Let us do good unto all men.
Let us do good unto all men.
Especially unto them who are of the household of.
So the Bible says that being able to do good is an opportunity. It calls it an opportunity. Seeing an opportunity to do good. Somebody's there who couldn't pay their hospital bills, and you're there to pay it for them. Somebody's there who couldn't pay their school fees. One child, one boy walked up to me in church. I've never seen the mother before. When our former venue. See, daddy. Said, they pushed me from school. He ran to me. I said, where's your mommy? His mommy doesn't come to our church. I've never seen his mom before. But I know their house is not very far from that place. So he comes to church every Sunday morning. I mean, where's Oge? Okay, you guys know. Where's Bisoy? What's the name of that guy? I can't even remember his name. Is it Bisoy? What's his name? That small boy. Emmanuel or something. Emmanuel. Okay. Say, I said, school fees? I said, how much is school fees? Say, maybe 15,000 or something. Say, they push you from school? Bring him home to church. So he brought his mom. His mom was coming to church for the first time. Saying, he doesn't have school fees. I collected the account details of the school. Wired the money there. Go back to school. So the mom started coming to church from that time. But we didn't do that because... So the mom will come to church. She doesn't come here anymore because their house is very close. They only go there. So it's not that I was moved there. She doesn't come here. But I couldn't see that boy staying at home because of 15,000. There was a school around Dawaki that they didn't have lights. I was a pastor of a home cell. Pastor of home cell. Just home cell. I was not main pastor. I was not even pastor. Just home cell. My home cell. Just this school. They have not had light in that school for 14 years. All the fridge in the school have now become cupboard. There are only two toilets. And the school was servicing over 500 pupils. Imagine a school with over 500 pupils with no water. And there's toilet there. I said, never! We're giving them light. We're giving them light. I went to Nepal. How much does it cost to wire this place? To bring a cable light? They said 100,000. I said 100,000? To bring light? We are. Wire 100,000 fast. They brought in light straight. The day they pump water, you need to see how the children were dancing under the water. 14 years of desert experience. The poor are opportunities for elevation. The poor around you. Pastor Lee that gives to the poor. Lend there to the Lord. And he will give him back again. Because of my time, I have to rush. Please give me 10 more minutes. Media. Number four, give to your parents. Give to your parents. Give to your father. Give to your mother. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 to 3. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Give it to me, do more. Ephesians 6, verse 1 to 3. What does it say?
Children, obey your parents.
Obey your parents.
In the Lord.
In the Lord.
For this is right.
For this is right. What can say is that?
KJV.
KJV, yes.
Honor thy father and mother.
Honor thy father and your mother.
Which is the first commandment with promise.
Which is the first commandment with a promise. So the Bible says that if you honor your parents, you have a promise. A promise of long life. Giving to your parents is another channel for prosperity. Some of us are here. Our parents have never eaten one naira of our money before. We'd rather die. If you know how this man is wicked, give him, he's your father. Give him your father. Honor, that's what Jesus says. Honor thy father, honor thy mother. Honor. Say, can never. They are richer than me now. Yes, that's why you give to them. You give to them because they're richer than you. Because the Bible says, without contradiction, the less is blessed of the greater. The less is blessed of the greater. The less is blessed. All my mentors are richer than me. All my mentors are richer than me. All of them are richer. There's none of my mentors that is I'm richer as the person. So I give to my biological parents. I give to my biological parents figure, because both of my parents are dead. Figure of my biological parents. Christmas period, package. Sometimes on a quarterly basis, package. My wife puts her dad on salary. Quarterly. Like that. Sends money to him. It's a channel for blessing. What they do with it, they say, I got this money to drink kai kai. Leave it. Give it to him like that. He's too old for you to change. It's not your business to change him. Say, I don't want him to spend it. He's going to spend it. Leave it. You are only obeying the covenant. Let your parents bless you when they are alive. Isaac said to Esau, go get me venison such as I like, that my soul may bless you. The same applies today. Whether they are born again or not born again. Honor thy parents. Honor. I could show you scripture and scripture, but I don't have time. There are people like you are living in your parents' house. Ordinary that light finish. To just contribute small quota. Never. You'd rather die in darkness. You use all your two hands to eat and when it goes long, bad yoni. You are finished with nothing. There's not your parents cannot trade 1 naira that came from your pocket to them. He sent you to school. I didn't even have brought me to the world. Did I beg to come here? This generation must be taught. This generation must be taught. Honor is very absent in this generation. Even spiritual parents. Honor is very far. No honor. No honor. Nothing. No honor. Some people even think they're going to collect from their spiritual parents. They look at this shoe, they want to collect it. Look at this mistletoe, they want to collect it. My spiritual parents, my father in the Lord, Evangelist Bill Gashita, had his 50th birthday last week. Sent a broadcast message to all of us who are his children. I flew all the way to Lagos and flew back and didn't see him. When I told my wife, didn't believe it. You mean this? I said this. He said, why? I said, I was sitting there, but I didn't know how I'm going to go and meet him. In front of everybody, I said, so am I the choice child or what? All these other human beings that sit here, are they, has everybody not come? Say, well, you came from Abuja. I said, but I don't know how to go there. I said, we came from Abuja. It was a big, the governor of Akwa Ibom was there in person. And I didn't know how to go and meet him. I didn't know how to stand up where I was sitting down to go and say, yes, I'm here. So because I was going to go, my flight was in the evening. I sent him a message that he didn't see. That's how I'm sorry I had to leave. I don't want to be late for my flight. I don't even know how this traffic is left. When he saw it, he couldn't believe it. He said, you were there? I said, yes. He said, you are his son indeed. Started blessing me. Son indeed. Son indeed. Honor. There are people that can never be poor in this life. If all the cohorts of hell come down, they can't be poor. Because of the blessing of the progenitors. That's on them. Their mothers have blessed them. Their fathers have blessed them. Let all the enemies in their office gather together. They will fall at their feet. They have a mother praying for them. They have a father who has spoken words over them. Say, as you are going, they can't die. Isn't that your life may be long on the earth? So you got the money. You are any 10,000. You cannot give 500 naira. That divide the charge card. You must finish it. It's not much. It's not much. How will it be much? I take money to my spiritual parents. I was to Bishop Abe. I did a wine case for Bishop Abe. A wooden wine case. The amount I spent on creating that wooden wine case is almost 4 times the cost of the wine. Just the case. Honor. And I used my hand to carry. You know, ladies. I cased it. He said, what? He didn't believe it. He said, My name is on it. His name was engraved on the bottle. His name was engraved on the wood. Spent time to do it. It's honor. I was very deliberate about honoring him. My wife and I will go there, we're taking seats in foreign currencies. We knew that. Bless us. I can never be poor. Me. The oil that is dripping, you see that I cannot see it. I'm dripping glory. Words are spoken. We have to be sure, baby. Some of you are going to, your fathers are not perfect. Forget. Nobody here. I know your father are not, you know. Your parents are not perfect. But every gift of God is perfect. It is the man that's not perfect. The gift of God in him is perfect. So you may even hear things about your parents. I have a spiritual father that someone started saying things about. So I was telling my wife this morning. He's a spiritual father. And I was speaking to his son. Some people are going to end up, they are going to end up in poverty. You see, poverty says poverty. Ah, my God. I don't know how to explain poverty. Somebody was fighting me yesterday because our guys, when we were trying to remove our stuff from our former place, they broke a store. They broke that store because they were thinking that maybe some of our things may be there. So they broke the store, you know. The place was very clumsy. They couldn't get anything. He called me very furious that those are the things that he got for his wedding almost 10 years ago that he put there. The remaining things. As he's talking to me, he can't even go there because of the enough dust. 10 years ago wedding. The gift they gave you, you put it there. And you are fuming like this, Augusta, you are poor. We did not take any gifts. All the gifts they gave us are in Lagos. You want to come and ask, go there and check if you can find anything there that you like. I've already bought our freezer. I've already bought our fridge. What would they give you? You know, Tumblr, give you all kinds of things. All we reached watch club. What? Flowers. Niger, what does Nigeria mean? And it's gift to gifts. If you give me gifts, I keep it. I wrap it. Change it up. He said, if I'm not careful, if I even get a gift you have given me for. So it's a full circle. So this boy was talking about his father. His father, who hides tomato. I said, I saw that this billboard, and that's amazing. He said, forget. He said, that's not what you need now. So what does he need? He said, you're going to retire. For what? How old is he? Say that guy, the church is dying. That since he left, you know, they have the love since. I just called the call. Hello, hello, hello. This network, sha. Bing. A lot of Brooklyn were here. So me, I should sit down with you and be talking about your father like that. No honor. And we sit down, they slaughtered their parents. This is them. And you want to prosper. How? Your parents are God's channels. They are not perfect. I admit. Your father might even be taking alcohol. All the money gifts him, might be taking alcohol. If you put, say, daddy, I have 5K for you every month. Daddy, I have 10K for you every quarter. Daddy, I have 1 million for you every year. Whatever he does, you have already honored your part of the covenant. Someone say honor. This is a very critical part of prosperity that most people in the generation don't understand. The grace that we enjoy today in SLC is a grace that came on me through honor. I know how to honor the parents. When I was leaving my church, my pastor said a lot of terrible things about me. I had the ability to scatter the meeting. Let me tell you this. Oh, I don't know why I'm telling you this morning. Maybe there's somebody that needs to hear this. They said a lot of lies against me, and I had the ability to scatter that meeting. Because he had told me stuff about the people in those meetings, terrible stuff about them, that if I began to recount those stuff, that meeting would scatter that day. And I don't go home to receive response. You see, the response, I am a talkative. My response I don't think it will come out. What I'm going to tell you, if you are very close to me, you know what I'm saying. If you ask me any question now, I will give you answer as though you asked me yesterday. I have scripture for everything. I have scripture for lying. I have scripture for everything. Are you following my point? If you are very close to me, you know that you don't. My friends, they say, you don't even think. I don't think. It's there. It's follow come. I can't help it. I have a response. So while he was saying those things about me, I could have said something. Honor kept me quiet. Honor. My pastor says, Philip, when Saul threw the javelin at David, David could have taken that javelin and pinned Saul to the wall with one throw. Someone that stoned Goliath. But what did David do? That's honor. That's honor. It's honor to cover your father's nakedness. That was what Ham did have. Shem and Japheth, Bible says the father pronounced a blessing and cursed Cana and Ham. Oh no. I didn't say anything. I was crying. People say, hey, yeah, you really pain him. What was pain? I have many things to say. And I walked in from that meeting. Every result you see today were results of honor. Honor. This generation needs to be taught. We don't. Just take it, pastor. Finish him on Facebook. Take it there. Slaughter him on Instagram. You are talking and you don't even know anything. Same thing with your parents. So honor here. Everybody says honor the Lord with your substance. Talk about giving. Give to your parents. Okay, I'm going to round up because my time is up, but I'm just going to round up with this last part. I'm going to talk about working. Next week is our convention. I can't preach this message to you. That'll be next month. I'll preach next month. Okay, so how does God want you to give? God wants you to give honorably. Someone say honorably. Say last, say honorably. I'll finish in 5 minutes, I promise. Honorably. Malachi chapter 1, verse 6 to 8. Help me do more. You have to read very fast. Just like that. Malachi 1, 6 to 8. Honorably, God wants you to give him honorably. Malachi 1, 6 to 8. What does it say? A son honors his father, and a servant his master.
If then I be a father,
if I be a father,
where is my honor?
Where is my honor?
And if I be a master,
if I be a master,
where is my fear?
Where is my fear?
Saith the Lord.
Saith the Lord
to you, mm-hmm. O priest that despise my name.
O priest that despise my name. Continue.
And he say,
yes.
Wherein have we despised thy name?
Yes.
Ye offer polluted bread upon my altar.
Yep.
And ye say,
yes.
Wherein have we polluted thee?
Yes.
In that ye say,
yes.
The table of the Lord is contemptible.
Yes.
And if ye offer the blind for sacrifice.
If you offer the blind, yes.
Is it not evil?
Is it not evil?
And if ye offer the lame and the sick.
The lame and the sick.
Is it not evil?
Is it not evil?
Offer it now unto thy governor.
Offer what you want to offer to me, to your governor first.
Will he be pleased with thee?
Will he be pleased with you?
Or accept thy person?
Or accept your person. So God says, if you want to offer, offer honorably. Offer honorably. You know some people handle their offering. Is the last. They just say, okay, what remains there? Okay, this should go. This should do. That's all right. After all, it's just God. You can't give that to your governor. You can't give that to your president. Honor. When I say lift up your offerings above your head, it's honor. It's an attitude. It's an attitude around giving. It's even more important than the content of what you are giving. I told you about how I used to go and convert to dollars. I will go. I was planning. I don't give without planning. I give. I would have planned this is what I want to give God in every service. This is what I'm going to give. This one is God's own. If God sees me as I'm arranging me. This is God. Honor. You see, that honor is more important than he puts value and worth on what you are giving. There's somebody that will give you 10 naira now, you are going to rejoice. Say, yeah, 10 naira. You are going to tell me person. And someone will give you 10 naira. You say, me? Why are you insulting me? Bible says, as God has blessed everyone, so let him give. Give at your level. Give as God has blessed you. Number two, give cheerfully. Give cheerfully. Bible says in the book of 2 Corinthians, say God loves a cheerful giver. Don't give. Number three, I'm rushing this. Give willingly. Don't give under pressure. Don't let anybody give you. Say, there are 10 people in this line. Marco Setelebaha. The Lord said, you are going to give 10 million each. Ah, and nobody there even have 2 million. You're not under pressure. There's no need to. God will never ask you what you don't have. So don't give under pressure. Don't give under obligation. Don't give under compulsion. If God says you should give, let it be God. But don't let anybody put you under pressure to give. Give as you are willing to. Open to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 12. I wish I could read this Bible. I'm telling you, that blessed you. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 12. It's just that some of you, I know you're not going to open this book again this Sunday. That's just my problem. Some people, if you know the amount of notebook we saw in our former church, is a bag of people's written notes. Abandoned before the Lord. And they didn't find it. They didn't look for it. They didn't need it. So write it down. I promise you're going to read 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 12. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 12. Give in love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 3. The Bible says, If I give all my body to be burnt, I give all my goods to the poor, and I have not love. He said, my giving is in vain. Your giving must be in love, your giving must be willingly, your giving must be cheerfully. Give faithfully, not with eye service. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 6. Ephesians 6, verse 6. Give not out of eye service. Some people give out and say, Pastor's coming. Pastor, we know we really want to give. We have been looking at what the church is going through right now. You know, you have your reward already. Give from the heart. Give from the heart. Give sacrificially. Psalm 126, verse 5 to 6. Give it to me, Dumo. Psalm 126, verse 5 to 6. Psalm 126, verse 5 to 6. What does it say? Psalm 126, 5 to 6. Psalm 126, verse 5 to verse 6. What does it say?
They that sow in tears,
those that sow in tears
shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seeds
with them,
shall doubtless come again
with rejoicing,
bringing his sheaves with him.
So you saw that testimony that guy gave his seeds. It's a sacrificial gift must be laid. Are you following me? Praise the Lord. Sacrificial seed must be one that the Holy Ghost led you to give. Human beings cannot lead you to give sacrificially. Please write it down. It must be God that speaks to your heart. I can't come and say, Brother James. No, let me say, Brother, this is your car. The Lord says you give to me. Now, it's only God that has the prerogative and has the right to do that. There was one church I went to. I wanted to slap the guy. The guy wrote a check. He's in law school. That law school pastor, God forgive him. He wrote a check like this. The pastor went to meet him because I was playing keyboard. He said, I just hear God. Now God said, everything you want to give, go and double it. I want to say, yes, bro, sorry. Excuse me. Did God tell you that? Sacrificial giving must be as what? As led. Human beings cannot lead you to give sacrificially. I can ask for an offering. But if God says, go give your car, it must be short. Like that guy said, God told him, go do this. Are you following my point? It must be of God. If any man comes and says, don't answer the question. Don't answer the question. Only God can ask you to give sacrificially. Alright? Last one, give tirelessly. Don't stop giving. It takes giving to get there. It takes continuous giving to remain there. And it takes growing in your giving to keep growing your financial fortune. Did you get blessed this morning? Did you learn anything? So that's it. Next time I'm teaching on this, I'll be talking about working. I had a lot of scriptures on working. It was supposed to be the second thing. I was supposed to do everything in one service. But man proposes. God disposes. All right. Boy, were you blessed this morning? Are you sure you were blessed? All right, so rise on your
feet. Thank you for listening to this message. Meditate on these words and watch how it will transform your life. For inquiries, please call 0909-672-9827 or 0807-548-5997. You can reach us on Instagram and Facebook. Instagram at SLChurchNG. You can reach us on our Facebook. That's Supernatural Life Church.